Ah, the road. Don't you love it? Not just any road. A road you've never traveled before. Might be through a cornfield. Maybe a winding mountain pass where the evergreens start to thin out as the air does. Or maybe my favorite, a two-lane stretch of asphalt on the vast, merciless Mojave. An off-world wonderland where people go to disappear. Themselves or others. What if you decided to disappear? Because you wanted to, or maybe because you had to? Do you ever feel like that? Lots of people do. Few ever act on it. And those who do rarely tell their story. Sometimes they just vanish. Like taillights in the desert night. Because they are outlaws. I've known a few outlaws. One of them was world famous. Stay with me.
The safari park.
You're killing me, Larry!
Larry. Fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
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 Come on, Larry. Larry.
Being on the road is one thing. Jack Kerouac's book by that title is a thrilling account of wanderlust. It had a huge impact on me. Altered the course of my life, created an itch that I just had to scratch. Heeding the words of Horace Greeley. So as a young man, I went west. It took a lot of doing to get there, but I made it. And there I stayed for many years. What is it about the W on the compass? It holds so much more romance and adventure than the other three letters, doesn't it? Go north or south, and eventually you arrive at the same thing. A frozen wasteland or a frozen ocean. Go east, and you get to another ocean, the shore of which has become one contiguous condominium. But the west, especially the southwest, home of the Mojave, well, that's a vast sprawl of topographic and climatic hostility. It seems survivalists, they always tout their know-how in lush green forests where there's shade and water and one can build a lean-to and live indefinitely on legumes and berries and freshwater fish. In the desert, you can live for a while. But eventually your corpse will mulch into the sand between the cactus and a sun-bleached steer skull. When you enter the desert, you enter a still and silent forbidden zone where you are not welcome. The blistering sun and freezing nights relentlessly tag-team you, along with rattlesnakes, scorpions, coyotes, Gila monsters, and, sometimes, biped marauders. There was just a fascinating story. It was like a scene from Breaking Bad. About a week ago, they found six bodies in the Mojave in an area with the perfect name of El Mirage. That's in San Bernardino County, California. Sightseers that got lost and ran out of water and sunscreen? No, they were burned, but not from the sun. They'd been shot to pieces. Soaked with gasoline and... The town of San Bernardino, which is about 50 miles from El Mirage, that's the birthplace of Hell's Angels. It's also a meth manufacturing hub and an incredibly dismal, dirty, and dangerous place with a long history of, well, shit like that story. The cops haven't made any detailed statements. But is one really necessary? A spokesperson for the sheriff's department said, quote, "It's a desolate area, and with the desert, you just never know," unquote. No shit. Another local cop topped that line when he said, "If there were to be a cross everywhere someone dumped a body, the desert would look like Forest Lawn Cemetery." That's probably no exaggeration. Some people head for the desert when they want to make themselves scarce. True desert rats hole up in rusty RVs stocked with apocalypse rations, crates of ammo, and barrels of water, but sooner or later, they have to reprovision. With cash becoming obsolete, how do they remain anonymous? Maybe there's a barter system out there. The Mojave is a few tiny outposts, peopled by folks who are a bit more sociable but still want to live in obscurity. And one of the bigger, better-known enclaves is a place called Oatman, Arizona. Unfortunately, it's becoming a tourist destination, which will ruin its outlaw vibe. They used to stage gunfights at noon on Main Street. Dozens of donkeys wander everywhere. They're mostly friendly, but they don't like dogs and will stomp them to death for the hell of it. They also shit everywhere. There's a hotel with a terrific bar where the walls and ceiling are covered with money, well in excess of $250,000. They never get robbed. It would take too long to scrape all the bills, and most people are packing heat anyway, so. You can buy a switchblade knife there, but they're crap. The townsfolk are friendly, but they rarely offer their last names. A big plus for Oatman. In the minus column, Oatman has internet and credit cards function, and therefore, privacy is probably doomed. Life on the lam is such a recurring theme in literature and movies. Seems it never ends well. One of the best tales was Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Other than that stupid scene with the bicycle and raindrops, it was a perfect movie. And it did something few outlaw stories ever do. It blurred the lines between good guys and bad guys and made you root for the outlaws. They were flawed people, as everyone is. And although they were bandits and train robbers, they never killed anyone until they went straight and worked for the establishment. Throughout American lore, outlaws were admired and celebrated. From the founders, Paul Revere, Nathan Hale, and more, they were all outlaws as far as England was concerned. Right up to characters of the Old West, Billy the Kid, Jesse James, Buffalo Bill, and dozens more. This love affair went on into the 20th century. Bonnie and Clyde, Capone, right up to John Gotti, who had a hell of a fan following. When extracting the criminal element, people envy and want to emulate rock stars and movie stars. They're kind of outlaws, aren't they? Guys that never have to punch a clock or suffer the indignity of a performance review or write a fucking resume. People who don't need a document to define or explain their worthiness. In the 20th century and before, conformity was reviled. Authority was the enemy. Only stiffs, rubes, and halfwits loved the system. Most everyone else just tolerated it and felt trapped by it. When did this change? Now, bootlicking has replaced rebellion as the rite of passage for America's youth. Growing up, I knew a few outlaws. One became a good friend, whom I've talked about in many episodes of this show, Tony Spumante, whose father was top management in one of New York's five families. I knew some other lower-level wise guys from the Mawbone Saloon, where I attended bar in college. All of them were dangerous. A couple were psychotic. But I never had any trouble from any of them. While working there, there were guns pulled on me 3 times. Each time I faced a gun, it was held by a drunken cop. In earlier times, becoming an outlaw was a conscious choice. Now, outlaws are created by government decree. Millions of us became outlaws in the early 2020s when we defied Biden's mandates, huh? When will those outlaws be celebrated? The business owners who refused to shut down. I did a show about one. The Tinhorn Flats restaurant in Burbank, California, which was mercilessly and illegally persecuted and shut down by scumbag politicians. It was the first and only show thus far where I put on my journalist shoes and went live to the scene. It was a very popular episode, number 305, Liberty Bleeds. You can find it in the April 2021 tab at thatlarryshow.com. The city of Burbank actually erected a fence around the man's restaurant and posted cops there to keep him and any defiant customers out. Many of those same assholes now want to demolish fences at our southern border, keep those invaders, soon to be Democrat voters, pouring in. Then there were the kids that suffered at the hands of thousands of pukes who carried out Biden's mandates with glee. Two of those kids are my own daughters, neither of whom took the jab. At college, my elder one endured weekly COVID tests plus masking. My younger missed 2 full years of high school, taking Zoom classes instead. They were not optional. When they finally did open the school, it was still mask-o-rama. Meanwhile, the governor, that oozing bag of hair gel and pus, Gavin Newsom, he was recorded cavorting and dining maskless at California's most expensive restaurant and attending sporting events, also maskless. And he desperately wants to be president. Newsom is vermin, to use a word certain to trigger his base. He is unfit to breathe the same air as the rest of us. He needs to be locked down for the rest of his worthless life. In retrospect, my kids got off easy. My daughter just learned that one of her vaxxed and boosted high school classmates had myocarditis so severe, she now requires a heart transplant. An 18-year-old kid that was a gifted athlete. Biden, Fauci, Borla, Walensky, and many others are responsible for her condition, and countless others with health damaged by the experimental drug that was called a vaccine, but was not. Then there were hundreds of thousands of soldiers, sailors, cops, firefighters, EMTs, nurses, and doctors who also refused the jab and were fired. They were the real heroes, not the ones doing TikTok dance routines in their scrubs while their comatose patients died on ventilators. When do the real heroes get accolades and remuneration for their bravery in the face of authoritarian shitbags? All those people were outlaws, weren't they? Mocked and demonized by smug assholes like Jimmy Kimmel.
Dr. Fauci said that if hospitals get any more overcrowded, they're going to have to make some very tough choices about who gets an ICU bed. I don't know, that choice doesn't seem so tough to me. Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right on in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo? Rest in peace, Wheezy. We've still got a lot of pandimwits out there.
And the steroid strongman, Arnold.
To get vaccinated, to wear masks, to do social distancing. Screw your freedom.
Fucking idiot. We were made into outlaws, weren't we? And we weren't even bandits or bank robbers or train robbers, just plain folks out for life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Even if that was just a dinner out. I used a forged vax card to enter a number of restaurants. It felt great, flouting the mandates of cockroach politicians. But bag of maggots Biden's mandates took many lives, lots of liberty, and it's kind of hard to be happy when any of those are taken. So it looks like the staggering, stumbling, mumbling mummy hit a triple. He made this nation miserable. And he's no outlaw. Being an outlaw involves risk and balls. As the evidence of his 20 shell corporations and financial malfeasance continues to grow, it appears he's just another grifting politician. But you'll never see him in an orange jumpsuit.
Larry, stay on task.
Okay, back to real outlaws. I once spent a few hours with one of the most famous outlaws of this century, John McAfee. I interviewed him for this show back in December of 2019. I had no idea where he was when we talked. He'd been in hiding for quite some time. John was a throwback to a much better era. He was an old school mogul with a gargantuan personality, a charm bomb with tremendous charisma. Talking with him was effortless, and the hours flew by like minutes. It was around Christmas time, and truth be told, as we talked, I had this awful feeling of foreboding. For a year or more, I and millions of others had followed his fantastic journey and his enviable antics on Twitter. We watched him on the deck of his boat, shirtless and armed like Pancho Villa, as it crashed through the high seas. We tapped our feet as he drank and danced and played piano at some tiki bar in the Caribbean. He had a good-sized motor yacht, a small crew. All were heavily armed. He regularly posted videos on Twitter. By then, he was an expat. He'd been hounded from Belize, where he was framed for murder when he refused to pay the graft. Even Cuba made him shove off after refueling. It was all because of pressure from the U.S. government. It was clear some powerful people wanted him and were willing to do anything to get him. Of course, he was very tech-savvy. He'd made his fortune in that business, but digital always leaves a trail. How hard would it have been for some NSA geeks to trace the Zoom call I had with him? Probably not very. I created a thumbnail for the episode, placing John's face on the poster for Outlaw Josie Wales. When he saw it, he roared with delight. I told him that he was clearly a master of the art of take no shit. Here was his reaction.
Clearly, you hold a 10th degree black belt in the art of not taking shit.
I thank you. I think that's a compliment.
It absolutely is. Yes.
I thank you very much.
and so...
I got to remember that one.
Oh, it's yours. And I'm speaking to you right now. This is the Take No Shit Dojo in Los Angeles, California.
Okay, well, listen, no, I don't.
And so here's the problem. So what is... What
he alluded to there being some powerful people who wanted him gone. So I pinned him down. And he named names.
Are there specific individuals that have it in for you?
Yeah. All right. Now, this is going to be hard to believe, but you may check it out in the public record of the mainstream media, right, for whatever record that is worth. All right. Now, two names. James Comey. Mm. Okay. God, he is no longer in the position he's in. And Hillary Clinton.
When I learned he was imprisoned in Spain, I was stricken. He said if he died, everyone should know that he would never take his own life. He hung on for quite some time, even managed to get some tweets out while he was in jail. Then Spain agreed to extradite him to the U.S., where he was a much-wanted man for the very, very dangerous and heinous crime of failing to file tax returns. His widow Janice was sweet and shattered by his passing. She knew him as well as anyone and said he would never, ever take his own life. John was perhaps the last American mogul to become a living legend, like Howard Hughes, inventor, engineer, visionary, flying ace. Lothario bedded some of Hollywood's hottest stars. Bigger than life. Contrast McAfee and Hughes with today's dweeb league of business titans, Zuckerberg, Gates, Bezos. Are they rich? Yeah. Do you want to have a beer with any of them? Didn't think so. McAfee was always fascinating, always amusing, though I spent only a couple of hours with him. When he died, I felt as if I'd lost a good friend. He was certainly the most famous outlaw I've ever known. He was fearless, and in his two runs for president, he stepped on some very powerful toes. My interview with John can be found in two parts in the January 2020 tab at thatlarryshow.com. The video versions are bonus episodes 33 part 1 and 2, and those are available at patreon.com/thatlarryshow. Besides being an outlaw, John was certainly a Lutfa. He wanted to be left the fuck alone. If you want to declare your status as a Lutfa, grab a weatherproof magnetic Lutfa sticker for your vehicle, fridge, or any metal surface. They're extremely well made, and yours to have for only $15 each, or 3 for $40. Shipping is free, and only to the United States. You can see a picture of one at thatlarryshow.com. Now don't forget to tell your friends about this show and send them a link. I will see you next Wednesday or thereabouts. And until that time, remember, you don't have to be a criminal to be an outlaw. Take no shit.
I'm John McAfee, and I love that Larry Show.